Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Touchline Podcast, episode 33. We've been away for a little while, but we are back, much to our delight, hopefully yours. I'm Rich. I got Brett here. What's up, Brett?
Hello.
And Jared's back again.
Yo.
All right. Hopefully we can... His microphone situation will work out this time, right, Jared?
Yeah. Sound okay, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about halfway through the RSL season. We're 17 games through thus far out of 34. So we'll do a halfway review, right? Talk about, you know, what we've liked, what we've not liked. Maybe we'll touch on some other topics like super teams and penalties and whatnot. So I guess let's dive right in and talk about the first 17 games of the season. So I'm going to go ahead and just bust my stats out right from the start. You guys ready for stats right from the start, or do we have to warm up first?
Do it.
All right.
Make sure I'm proud. Throw it out there.
Everyone's stretched out, limbered up, ready for these stats?
Do it.
Okay, here we go. So out of the first 17 games, we played 10 away games, 7 home games for 17, right? So they always say that you want to win at home and draw on the road. So going by that, that would be a perfect score for the whole season is 68 points. Okay, you guys with me so far?
Gotcha.
And if you did that, you would have won the Supporters' Shield every single year if you got 68 points.
Yeah.
So right now we have 28 points, and because of how many away games we've gotten, we're 3 points below our target. So our target would be 31 points, and we have 28. So looking at it from that perspective, we're not doing too shabby, only being 3 points down halfway through the season of kind of a perfect score, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, like, kind of feels like that a lot of fans have been frustrated with how the beginning of the season has gone and a lot of the results, but I guess looking at it from purely a how many points we have standpoint, we're not in that bad of shape.
That makes sense. Well, where
how many points do we have?
We've got, he said 28, I think.
Yep. Mm-hmm. 28.
Okay. No, out of 20 home.
Wait, start over, Brett.
Yeah,
out of 28, you've had 17 points come from home games.
See, and we're a home team, I think.
Because we have yet to register a loss at home. We're 5-0.
Right. 5-0-2. Yeah, 17.
So, we're one of 6 teams that hasn't lost at home this year.
Nice. That's a good group to be in.
They were saying, was it the top 3 or the top 4 teams in the West? We haven't had any losses amongst the top, I think it was the top 4 teams in the West haven't lost a home yet.
Mm. Real fast.
So that's definitely, we're in that group.
I think it's actually top 5.
Okay. So we're just behind Dallas in the West right now.
Right? Dallas and Colorado.
Well, Colorado's number 1, aren't they?
There's
Colorado's second. 2.
Oh. Who's number 1 now?
So Dallas is 1 with 34 points, but they've played 2 more games than we have.
Right.
FC Dallas has 34, sorry. Colorado Rapids has 33 points, so 1 point below Dallas, and they've played the same amount of games as us. So we're 5 points behind the Rapids on the same number of games.
Okay.
So yeah, the top 4 teams you have, Dallas, Rapids, RSL, LA, are all perfect at home. Well, mm-hmm. We just haven't lost. They've been draws.
Gotcha.
And the other teams are San Jose and...
San Jose and who?
San Jose and Orlando.
Oh, yeah. Orlando's got only 3 wins and 6 draws, so that's kind of ouch.
Wow. So the Quakes are pretty respectable this year, no?
I don't know. I mean, they're okay. They're outside the playoffs right now, but...
Okay, okay.
I don't know what that means.
That Eastern Conference is very tight, though.
Is Montreal...
I mean, well, I thought 7 points separates first place and last place.
Whoa! That's... You win a couple games and you're right there.
You mean in the playoffs, not the whole conference, just playoffs, right?
No. Chicago Fire, who's last place in the Eastern Conference, has 14 points. They're only 7 points back from first place.
No, first place has 27. That's New York.
Oh,
yeah.
So that's 13 points.
But in the West, I mean, it's a 17-point difference between first. Which, I mean, we expected that from the West.
It's kind of, I guess soccer is kind of like basketball. Western teams are always better. What's happened to Philadelphia recently? Have they kind of fallen off?
I don't think so. They're still in second place. I don't know. Did you guys listen to that Men in Blazers podcast with Ernie Stewart, their technical director?
I did not.
It sounded super impressive. Like, I didn't know anything about him. And listening to that interview, I mean, it was really impressive. And, I mean, makes you kind of have hope, you know, if you're a Union fan, that they're going to keep on the upward trajectory just based on all the success he's had previously, plus, you know, all the stuff he's implemented at the Union. So,
well, that's super cool, because, I mean, I feel for Philly sports fans. It's right. Not an easy life.
Well, so I guess let's talk about who we think, who have been what have been the highlights of the first half of the season so far for you guys? Or the MVP, you know, whatever you guys want to, I guess, address as the highlight.
The home win against Colorado I thought was really cool. Wait, did that happen? Or am I making that up? We did win that game, right? It's been so long.
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Okay. I thought that was great because at the time Colorado was seemed like they were smoking everybody and they didn't come smoke us.
Right. Yeah. What about, I mean, who has been your MVP so far?
I really like, well, he hasn't shown much the last few games, but I still have to go with Plata. I mean, he hasn't scored or I don't think he's assisted for a while either. But, you know, well, yeah, okay, he scored off the penalty kick in the Open Cup play, but that's it. He's kind of had kind of a drought recently, but
no,
I still
he took the penalty in the DC game, didn't he? No, that wasn't, you're right, that was Seattle. Never mind.
Was that your, did your, yeah, that was Seattle.
Oh, well, okay, what about you, Brett?
I want to say Plata, but his numbers are, he came out of the gate awesome, and now he's kind of slowed down, and so a lot of his stats came from early on in the season.
Yeah, totally.
I'm going to go with Burrito. He's been on this just real consistent game the last... I don't know, ever since probably the end of April.
That's my second choice. I mean, he's at least our MVP, most valuable burrito, for sure.
Yes. But, I mean, he's looked good doing it. I mean, 6 goals and 2 assists, and something that I found that he's only taken 24 shots, but he's put half of them on goal, and then half of those have actually became goals. So
that's really good.
He's looking good.
He keeps juking those guys and making them look foolish. Ugh. He is definitely easily one of our top 3 players. Him, Mofsisian, and Plata have got to be our top 3 guys.
The DP.
You have a favorite moment so far this season?
If you
What was
have
that?
one, you go first. I don't
I
know.
said, Brett, do you have a favorite moment so far?
Man, there's been a lot of good ones. Is it
While
like
you,
pick
while I
one
guess
of them?
while you think about it, so I really liked what our games against Tigris at the very beginning of the season. I thought we played well, and I thought we showed well, and I think we earned a lot of respect by how we played. I know a lot of people have been getting on Jura because he hasn't scored a lot of goals, and he kind of made the mistake of before the season saying that he only needed one chance to score. And that hasn't necessarily been the case.
Yeah, but I love the confidence. I don't know.
No, I think he's been doing pretty much all the right things. His movement, his positioning, he gets himself in so many dangerous spots, and he's been really unlucky in a lot of situations, and other times it's just been either a bad decision or poor finishing. But I was really excited to see, kind of how he jumped right into fitting in with the team, because he's been here before, but not with a lot of the players. So I think the second half of the season, it can only get even better because they'll become more familiar with each other.
I have to say, my favorite thing with Jura this year has been that article that was on MLS.com about him. That was just, that was, I don't know. It was just, to me, it's like you got to see a lot more of Jura than you're used to seeing because he's kind of this, the stone-faced sort of figure that we see and just like this big guy. And, to see that he went through so much and just to see him now just succeeding where he's at is just, to me, it's incredible. It's awesome.
Yeah, if you're listening to this pod and you haven't read the two-part article on MLS's website about Jura, you should pause, go read it, and then come back. So do that and then come back. One of the funny quotes in the article was when Weibel said he played against Jura, and Weibel was a defender, and he tried to knock Jura around and knocked him on his butt and stuff, and trying to intimidate him, and he was like, "If I would have known where I came from, I wouldn't have even bothered." So.
Yeah. He's an interesting guy. I didn't know a whole lot about his backstory before reading that.
Well, I think it's even cooler that he's playing with Tony Beltran, who is basically a childhood friend of his. And they were on like the same super team or whatever they call those.
Like a comp team.
Elite team.
Soccer version of AAU, I guess.
Well, do you guys have any other favorite moments that you want to talk about while we're at
I can't pinpoint one exact moment, but I think the one, like something that stuck out to me is, I want to say four times this year, the win. And that was something that it seemed like as soon as we won a goal down last year, there was like no coming back. And now it seems like the team's got this mentality, keep fighting.
Yeah, I really enjoyed how we won in Kansas City twice this year.
I think my favorite moment so
We
far,
own that cauldron.
my favorite moment so far had to be because of where I was, partially and kind of who I was with. I loved the Houston game. It was in a suite, thanks to some really awesome people.
Oh yeah. Right. Yeah, it's always fun watching games from suites. I mean, I haven't done it, but I hear it's cool. So if anybody wants to invite me, I'm just saying.
Someday, I think I'll figure out a way to turn by sports group and have a speech.
That's right. We'll have to talk to Grant about that.
Well, I don't know if we're going to be able to call it the turn by sports suite. Just one game, all of us go in and pay for one. Because they're not, I've heard they're not that expensive if you kind of just know what you want, pay in advance.
Interesting. Well, I guess let's talk about maybe some disappointments. Has there been anybody specifically that you guys have been disappointed in this season?
Well, I'm going to say Mulholland.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like...
I mean, I like him. I like what he does and stuff like that. But you're kind of expecting these guys each year to kind of take another step forward. He's stuck in that rut where he's not taking that step forward, and I think he's about to be passed by Sturzer.
I think you're probably right. It feels like he's kind of plateaued as a player. Because he did. Yeah. He had some moments last year, and then, I don't know.
For me, I don't really consider that as a disappointment necessarily, just because, I don't know, I kind of feel like I know what Mulholland is. Kind of like when Johnny Steele was here, I knew the kind of player that Johnny Steele was. So, you know, I kind of knew he had limitations, or, you know, I knew this was, you know, kind of the things that he would do. And as long as I can accept that, you know, put it in that framework, then, you know, when he made mistakes or he couldn't do certain things, it's like, well, I mean, that's, you know, who he is. So I don't know, maybe I just,
yeah, I wouldn't call myself disappointed in Luke. I think if I'm disappointed in anyone, and this could be because of the transition to the new offense, but I was talking about when we were at the Open Cup game, Rich, I was talking to you a little bit about how I just felt like we haven't really seen Beckerman handle the ball like as much. And I mean, I guess I should have expected that because you don't really want to be sitting there in the midfield like we always used to be. But at the same time, it's like I feel like I don't know if I've seen Beckerman shoot a goal this year or anything. So I don't know. And he used to be like the guy here. You know, he was the big name. Him and Armando. Mm-hmm.
You know, for the first little while in the beginning of the season, I was actually kind of disappointed, or damn, I don't know what the right word is, but, you know, I was with you there on Beckerman, where I felt like he wasn't, I guess, contributing or being as large of a force as, you know, we had come to expect him to do. But then when he was gone for Copa America and then he came back, I mean, you can definitely see a difference when he's there than when he's not there.
Yeah.
So I'm not quite ready to say that, you know, we should put someone else in his spot, but...
Yeah, I don't feel that way. I think part of it's the new offense. And just, I think my expectations about him might be part of the problem, just because, you know, he's a national team player. He's Kyle Beckerman.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's because, you know, we've set high bars for these guys that, you know, if they don't quite get them, then you're kind of disappointed. Mm-hmm.
I actually think that high bar goes even higher than that when it comes to our team. I mean, look at how upset we got when Gold Cup games and Copa America games and World Cup games.
Yeah, it's been crazy.
Yeah.
The 3 games or 4 games in like 9 days or whatever it was, that one stretch, that was crazy.
You know, one of the other things that I think we'll probably get into a little bit more, but, I mean, obviously the defense has been a disappointment where we haven't been able to keep a clean sheet in forever. I don't think individually anybody has played terrible. I mean, Beltran's been okay for the most part. Mon's been okay. Glad's been okay. Olavi's been okay. Phillips has been okay. Wingert's been okay. But it seems like every game there's something that happens where it's just like a total breakdown of the defense, and you're like, what's happening?
Right. Well, exactly, and it doesn't feel like it's completely falling apart every single time now, which is nice. Good change.
Yeah, but there's still those moments, you know, like the Open Cup goal where Antonella and Glad didn't communicate properly, and I totally understand with Glad having, you know, I mean, he's going to learn and different things, and in a lot of ways you want him to make these mistakes so that he remembers, hey, I'm never going to let that happen again. It's kind of frustrating that we can't seem to put a complete game together.
Yep.
Yeah, the first half slow starts is kind of, I guess, the marquee thing here.
I don't know. It does seem like we'll have to find out against Montreal, but it does seem like we haven't been getting beat over the top as much as we were at the beginning of the season. So
that's a good point.
You know, the first little while of the season, it was like the first half was just long ball after long ball over the top of us, and it doesn't seem to have happened as much lately.
That's a good trend.
Yeah. Brett and Jared, do you guys feel like in the transfer window that we're in more need of a center back or a outside back, fullback?
I think I might go fullback. It's tough. It's a tough call because I like Beltran and Glad being back there, and the depth is nice, but I don't know.
What do you think, Brett?
I'm gonna say fullback. I like the Mond Glad pairing. And so I think in the rebuilding phase that we're kind of going through right now, I think we're a year ahead of schedule than where they thought we were going to be. And so it's nice to just have this time to let Glad and Modern grow together as players. And I like Beltran back there, but somebody on that opposite side, it always seems it's just a revolve. We need to find a guy that can actually step in and start every game if we need them to.
I mean, I do think that we should, obviously, you know, if we could bring in someone that was like a massive improvement at center back, we can do that. I don't know that there are a lot of, you know, say MLS level center backs that we could bring in that would be that big of an improvement that I would want to break up Mond and Glad, right?
Same.
But if we could bring in someone who, you know, was a significant upgrade, then yeah, I'm for it. I'm still, you know, like you were saying, not sold on Phillips and Wingert being the fullback on the other side of Beltran. And it's even more disconcerting that I would prefer Wingert, I think, over Phillips.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Phillips, do you think he has more room to grow? Because I like the kid, and it seems like he works sometimes, but isn't always quite where we need him to be.
I'll look it up really quick. How old he is? Sorry about that. I was typing and I couldn't.
You know, let's if see. DeMar's not turning into the player that we think he's going to be, uh-huh. We know that Wingert's time is coming up. Like, there's going to be that drop-off for Wingert here soon. So I would go as far as to say that, like, we need to be finding that person maybe in this new transfer window that's opening up.
Yeah, DeMar's 32, so he's not much behind Wingert.
Ah, so basically, it sounds like we kind of have a stop-back fullback.
Well, I mean, so Wingert's 34, Phillips is 32. I mean, they both could, I'm sure, can play a couple more years or whatever, but
yeah. So play at a high level is the thing.
Yeah.
We need a younger
place. Yeah. You got to get your mic a little closer, Jared.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, we need a new young replacement within the next couple years for sure then.
Yeah.
I mean, so, is it possible that he's actually on the team already?
Like who?
Because I know you got like Kavita and Okwunu.
I wouldn't know. Sorry.
That are spending time more with the Monarchs and playing Open Cup games and just little friendlies.
I mean, maybe Okwunu. I haven't watched him enough. I mean, the little bit I've seen, I don't know that he's that big of a step down from where we're at. It's just hard because I think even Boyd is... I don't know, I'll look it up too while we're talking, but he is 23. Oh, I thought he was older than that. Yeah, so 23, still plenty young. I think, who is it, Acosta? Danilo Acosta, isn't that his name?
Yeah, the midfielder.
Yeah, because yeah, he's more of like a Beckerman than a fullback, I think, even though he's played fullback. So.
Yep.
I don't know. Something else that's been really frustrating me is that Kassar doesn't really have anyone to go to for substitutes on his bench. I think.
Well, you could use him first.
Well, but like, who would you bring in? There's essentially no one that you can sub in for our front four that would be even kind of a change of pace or something. You know what I mean? Like, you bring in Garcia, for example, and that's such a step down. Even if Plata's playing at 60%, that's still better.
Yeah, I mean, all Garcia is going to give you is speed. That's about it.
You're not going to sub out Javi usually. You're not going to sub out any of the front three. You're not going to sub out Beckerman, right?
Yeah.
So that gives you one midfield spot. And then what, are you going to sub out fullbacks every game?
I have an idea. We'll just bring in Boris Diaw.
Boris Diaw?
No. I think it honestly just depends on how the games gear up. You can get away with a Garcia or an Allen in that front six somewhere. But I think subbing off like the Mulholland's for a winger to add more, you know, five defenders or something.
I feel like Allen is kind of he's almost who I would put at that fullback spot. You know, because we've had him back there before, right? And he's actually worked out kind of pretty well in some instances. But we've also had him play in the front four. So he's kind of our do-it-all guy.
Yeah, it's great having him, but, I mean, he's 21 right now. They just need to figure out what position they're going to put him in and let him start, you know, putting him back at fullback is it. That's what they need to do.
I'm really afraid that he's on the Luis Gil trajectory where, you know, he has so much potential, but then just doesn't ever quite. He doesn't ever reach it because either he doesn't get playing time or they can't put him in the right spot. Or I definitely think that he needs to start focusing on a spot. And it's funny because at the beginning of the season they said how he was going to be Javi's backup. And any time that, maybe once this year he filled in, but any time that Javi's been out, they've always put like Luke or someone else in that spot, not Jordan.
Okay. You know, I just forgot who I'm disappointed in. Javi. He's like he forgot how to finish. I don't know. I'm disappointed in Javi.
I do think a little bit that, and, you know, maybe this is confirmation bias talking, but he does seem slightly less mobile than in the past, but I think play-wise, he's still doing pretty well.
Yeah, you can kind of tell he's taking a step back. And maybe he's hitting his point where we know where he's going to become, like this is the player he is, and there's no more moving forward. But if that's the case, at what point replacement?
I think I would almost rather see them put Burrito right there. Put Burrito there and put Jordan out on the wing or something. I think because Burrito likes to occupy those spaces that Javi's normally in anyway.
See, and I feel like
Burrito likes to do.
No, go ahead, sorry.
I was just saying that Burrito likes to do a lot of those things that Javi does. He likes to get the ball, create chances for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, when Burrito first came last season, I don't know if you guys remember, but him and Javi were always standing in the same spot. Like, so they would pass, somebody would pass the ball to one of them, and the other guy would be standing like right next to him. It was kind of frustrating and funny at the same time. obviously they've figured out how to play since then, and that doesn't happen anymore. But I mean, I think Burrito would do a great job in that spot.
And I think Javi's getting to the point in his career where he'd be fine playing spot minutes, and he might be better in spot minutes coming off the bench or something.
I don't know if he'd be fine with it, and maybe not this season, but I think soon that might be the case.
Yeah, not this season. I don't think this season is, I mean, it's not over, so we kind of got to see what he looks like to finish out the year and everything, but yeah,
right.
I think it's something that's interesting. I think what his future could hold.
Yeah. Definitely this transfer window, Weibel needs to try and do something. It's hard in the summer window, I know, to bring someone in mid-season, but if we keep going games where we only use one or two subs, our starters are just going to get roasted. So I don't really hold it against him very much that he only uses one or two subs, because if I was him, I look over and I'm like, hey, he needs to bring in a sub, but then I look and I don't know who I would bring in.
Well, I like when he brings in Jordan Allen. I think Allen can provide that spark sometimes.
Sure, I mean, you got Allen if he's not playing, or Mulholland if he's not playing. But other than that, Garcia, Sandoval and stuff.
Yeah. I guess those are one or two guys. If Sonny's not playing, I like when Sonny comes in, but obviously we know he's hurt right now. He'll be out for a little while.
Yeah, probably till September, I would guess.
Really? I thought they were thinking only 6 weeks.
They said at 6 weeks they'll evaluate him, which would put him into like mid August. So I bet.
You're right. Late. September sounds more realistic.
Yeah. Which is crappy because I thought he was playing really well. So.
He was. I liked. Oh, he looked good. I think he looked better this year Well, I guess I'm paying more attention this year, but I feel like he looked better than I've ever seen him before.
Yeah, I mean, I thought he just came in and, you know, filled right in to what he needed to do. So I thought he was a great pickup. So. Well, I think that we have a lot of reasons to be excited and optimistic for the second half of the season, because there have been a lot of things that have gone wrong in the first half of the season, and a lot of, you know, consternation amongst fans and disappointments, you know, a bunch of times where we let leads slip away, where, you know, say we had, you know, 6 or 8 more points, I mean, then we'd be, you know, top of the league. But you know, if we can do a little bit better in the second half, which with all the home games, I don't know why we couldn't, then, I mean, I think we're definitely in a good position to, you know, be one of the top teams in the West.
Do you guys think that we could kind of be like a dark horse contention for the Supporters Shield?
I mean, we could be a dark horse, especially because we have, all the extra home games. I think it will be difficult because we're in the West. But then again, we already have a lead on the East. It's so surprising to me that someone from the East isn't, you know, just so far out ahead in points, right? Because they're terrible. I guess everyone's not that great.
Well, I mean, as of right now, we're to tie them for the Supporter Shield. And we also have 2 more games we have to play, so it's possible.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Dallas wins Supporter Shield. I mean, their team looks really good.
Is it for, like, the most goals or best differential? I can't remember exactly.
Points.
It's just overall points.
Yeah, for Supporter Shield, it's just points. I don't know what the rule. Every year they seem to change what the rule is for tiebreaker. Say we're both on 65 points. Sometimes it's goal differential. Sometimes it's goal scored of who gets the tiebreaker. I don't know what it is this year. I don't know if head-to-head, I don't think is usually the first tiebreaker. So, I don't know. We definitely could be a dark horse. I wouldn't expect Colorado to win Supporter Shield. They're a solid team, so I think they'll make the playoffs. But I would put my money on Dallas for right now.
Okay, so tie-breaking procedure is total wins then goal differentials.
Okay.
Goals for. And then you go to fewest disciplinary points. So.
Yeah, we're not going to win.
We're going to lose that one.
Every year, I don't know why, we always are like one of the worst disciplinary teams.
You get 7 points against you if the coach gets kicked out.
Oh, man, Kassar.
Kassar, like, last place in those points.
Funny. Yeah, we've been scoring a lot of goals, but we give up a lot, too, so our goal differential is only plus one right now.
Well, you got to look at that being swung by that. What was it? Plus 7-0? Was it 7-0 in LA?
So that's a big swing. No, the LA game was 5-2.
Okay. That's only 3 goals.
Yeah. You guys wanted to talk, or Jared, you wanted to talk a little bit about super teams because of, you know, what's been going on in the NBA lately. If you're not an NBA fan, I'll give you the quick recap. So, Golden State Warriors had the best regular season ever, win-wise. They lost in the finals to LeBron James' Cleveland Cavaliers. And in the offseason, LeBron James. And in the offseason, they only went and signed Kevin Durant, who's, you know,
gifted Zaza Pachulia for $3 million.
That one is probably, I think it's probably more irritating to me than the Kevin Durant one.
It is, because it's just like, here's a free starting caliber center.
Yeah. So, I guess in that regard, obviously in MLS, it's hard to make a super team because of the DP rules and the salary cap. You know, I think sometimes we feel like, say, Toronto or LA or NYCFC, you know, they're kind of super teams in a way because the three DPs they have are making, you know, 10 times the amount that RSL's DPs are making.
NYCFC doesn't know how to build a team, though.
Well, I mean, NYCFC isn't a super team, but, you know, they spend a lot of money on DPs.
Super trash right now.
Yeah. I mean, obviously in international soccer, there's no salary cap. So, you know, you get Manchester United's or Barcelona's or some, you know, some of these teams that just have monopoly money and they can go build whatever team they want. You know, Manchester United wants this. Isn't it them that's going after Pogba? Somebody's going after Pogba for $100 million.
I wouldn't be surprised if it was Man U.
Maybe it wasn't. Maybe Man U went after someone else.
It was Man U.
What a terrible manager, though. So I'm gonna have a hard time seeing them and anybody of consequence. Unless Pogba's like, you know, I hate winning with this French team. Let me just go lose with this trashy English team.
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of an interesting thing to think about. You know, someone was talking about, and I know we're kind of derailing here on soccer, but they're talking about in the NBA, you know, if you fixed it by having a salary cap but letting the teams pay individual people whatever they wanted. So, you know, you could, if your salary cap's $100 million, you could pay LeBron James $99 million of it if you wanted to.
Well, I think the huge difference between all the leagues, NFL and the NBA and leagues like that, each team pays for their players less, whereas the league is the one actually issuing the checks and stuff like that. And so the league kind of has to approve players.
Yeah,
they're the one that ends up paying the salaries.
No, that is true. I mean, there have been several instances where teams have wanted to sign players and the league has said no.
That happens in other sports, though. It's like the Chris Paul thing with the LA Lakers.
Well, but it's less common. I mean, like, for example, RSL was trying to sign Aaron Johansson, and the league said no. At least that's the rumor. It's not official, but multiple people have had commented on that. Or, you know, the LA Galaxy, I'm trying to remember, they were trying to sign somebody, too. And
equivalent to Chris Broussard, where I can get multiple sauces.
Multiple sauces instead of sources?
That's the joke. Well, no, that's the joke, because that's what his accent sounds like. When he's saying sources, he sounds like sauce.
Now, probably the person with the most... Adrian Wojnowski. Woj? It's probably Twelman, I would guess, in MLS. He seems to get a lot of the breaking news.
Gotcha. Yeah, Woj, man, there's nobody like him.
No. So, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard in MLS to make a super team because of just the salary cap rules. I mean, you can get three really good players, but then everybody else has to fill in the gap. You can't get three full 11 really good players. So, I don't know.
That makes sense.
I guess kind of to close out, let's talk a little bit about penalty kicks, shall we? We've had some struggles lately with penalty kicks. I guess we're not the only ones. A lot of countries and players have been having struggles with penalty kicks. Kind of a side tangent. You guys watch the Italy-Germany penalty kicks?
No, I watched the... what I did watch was Portugal and Poland.
Somebody...
As soon as the Polish guy missed one, I knew that they were going to lose.
Somebody put... GIF together of all the Italian players taking their penalties, like on top of each other. So I had all the players, you know, running up at the same time, and everyone's just making fun because one guy from Italy had that crazy run up.
Yeah.
Where he stuttered stepped for like 10 seconds, and it's just funny. You watch all of them go through and swing, and then like a second later, he comes into the frame doing his stutter step thing. Until he finally kicks it. It's hilarious. But, you know, Hobby had been our penalty kick taker, and he had a couple of his saved, so he hasn't been doing them lately. You know, I was having a talk on Twitter with Jake Simmons. Simons? Simmons. Dang it, I'm going to get it wrong. Anyway, SLTID Jake. And, you know, talking about how Jura and Plata were fighting over the penalty, who was going to take the penalty in the Open Cup. And he said that RSL doesn't have, like, they don't specify who's going to take the penalty kick. They just, like, figure it out, or maybe they're talking about that on frame. Anyway, I think it was kind of interesting that they don't decide, like, the coach doesn't say, hey, you're going to take this penalty kick. Just in the game, they got to argue with, you know, over who's going to do it. Is that good? Is that bad?
I think it's bad.
What? You think it's good?
No, the coaches should be able to stand in there and tell your guys before the game, hey, Javi's going to take all the corner kicks and all the free kicks. Plata, it shouldn't result down into two guys fighting inside the box over who gets to take it.
That's probably a good point. I'm not sure if it was me, just because I love Plata, I would probably have him take them all, but.
You know, I don't know, I'm kind of the opinion if the guy who earned the foul wants to take the penalty, then he should get to take the penalty.
Yeah, and I totally agree.
I think that should be how it is anyway. Like, if you get fouled in the box, then you have to take the penalty. I think that's what the rule should be.
Well, if you get fouled in basketball, you have to take the penalty.
Right. Why do you get to choose who gets to take the kick if you get fouled? I mean, why would someone in basketball, why do you get to choose, you know, if Dwight Howard gets fouled, you know, you send up James Harden to the free throw line. That doesn't make sense.
It's true. It's like a but it's like a tech. With the tech, they get to decide who they want to do it. So.
No, that is true. But I think it would make it a lot more intriguing if, you know, Aaron Mond gets fouled in the box and he's got to go take the penalty.
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. I mean, Yura's earned a bunch of opportunity to take how many? I think none.
What's that?
So, Yura earned like two or three this year and he hasn't been able to take any.
Yeah, I don't think he has. I don't know. I definitely think that, I don't know, I like the fact that, or I like when the coach has a kind of a hierarchy in, you know, set, but in the same vein, I can see the argument of, well, let the players talk it out, as long as it's, like, constructive and they aren't holding grudges and stuff, because Euro was pretty pissed when he didn't get to take it.
Yeah.
I mean, if that festers and that becomes, like, a locker room thing, then that's not good.
Yeah, I agree. That could be a big problem.
You know, I mean, in Columbus, that's what happened, right, with Kamara?
Uh-huh.
Where Higuain was going to take the penalty, and Kamara was on a hat trick. You know, he scored two goals.
I don't follow Trey Burke City FC.
And, I mean, so Kamara had scored two, and he wanted to get his hat tricks to score a third, and Higuain wouldn't let him take it. And then not only did he not let him take it, then Higuain gave the ball to someone else to take it.
That sucks. If your guy has a chance to get a hat trick, you should let him go for the hat trick.
And so after the game, Kamara just went off on it.
The hat trick, to me, the hat trick is one of the most fun things in soccer. And that's I keep hoping that we can have Yura or Burrito or Plata have a hat trick this year, because that's probably going to be my favorite moment of the year if that happens.
RSL's had a few hat tricks in their history, and I mean, they're always fun. Sabo had several. But, it was just like one of those things where, in that situation.
I love Sabo.
I mean, you could definitely tell in the Columbus case that discussion wasn't constructive. You know what I mean? Kamara and Higuain were not best friends afterwards. And so you don't want something like that to kind of divide the team, because it'd be, I don't know, it's just not necessary.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, those are my two cents.
So who would you decide?
I'm fine with Plata taking him right now. I think if Euro wanted to take him, that'd be fine too. Yeah, we're here. Are you there?
Yeah, it dropped off for a second. I'm not sure what happened.
Oh, okay. Anyway, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with Euro taking him. I'm fine with Plata taking him. I don't want Javi taking him right now. I don't know. I think Brito's taken a couple. He took one in that shootout. I don't know how he would do on penalties, but just as long as it's like, or you could even do it like the Barcelona method, where you take them until you miss. So if Plata misses, then it goes to Yura. When Yura misses, it goes to Burrito. When Burrito misses, it goes back to Plata.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'd be fine with something like that. I mean, Suarez, Messi, and Neymar, that's what they did. So, I don't know.
Say practice and if a guy like Justin Glad wins it, he gets him for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That's right. We were going to talk Justin Glad smack to you.
I totally forgot about that. Thank you for reminding me. I wish I had wrote down some of those insults I came up with. They were so funny.
Yeah. Yeah, he's had a couple of howlers here lately, but anyway.
Justin, give away a goal,
yeah.
Glad.
We know that Brett's on the all-time fandom bandwagon for Glad, so.
Yeah, well, yeah, Justin, open cup, open goal, Glad.
Yeah. You guys want to talk about anything else before we finish? Brett, you got any words of wisdom?
I feel like we've had a lot of killer time around the box, but we need to be able to finish just like we're going to finish this podcast.
I do think the team needs to be more willing to just shoot going forward.
Shoot, baby, shoot.
Mm-hmm. You got anything, Brett?
Just that I hope they actually do something in the transfer window.
Yeah.
The point right now that we know what we have, and I know we've been linked to a couple names so far, and so maybe we'll go spend some money.
Yeah. Have you guys ever listened to Jedi and Germs, how they have their little pop culture minute at the end, and they, John usually has like a little movie review blurb? Well, I just want to say, last minute or two, do not waste your money on Independence Day Resurgence. If you're planning to, do not do it. Don't do it.
Way to waste my day tomorrow.
I will take note of that, and I will maybe Redbox it.
Yeah, it's worth a red box. It is, but I would not pay full price for me and one other person. If it's just you going, cool. But if you're going to go to the movie, do a matinee, because otherwise you're just like going to feel crappy about having spent $9 on that. You're going to feel like you spent $9 to watch Fast and the Furious in space, or actually in Earth, but in space too.
I like the Fast and Furious.
Yeah, but are they movies that you go and see like the first couple weeks that they're out, or do you wait till they're at the dollar show? Or...
Yeah. All right, well, with that pop culture note and tip from Jared, I think we'll sign off. I'm Rich. You can get me on Twitter at @Frisbee_Rich. Don't all jump in at once. Go ahead.
Yep, I'm Jared at GoTheDistance49, and you guys know where to get me. And if you don't like Jazz hot takes or any takes, just don't follow.
Jared is definitely active on Twitter, I can tell you that.
Yeah, way too active. So the last few days, I'm gonna go on a break here in the next week or two.
No, he won't. He may not tweet anything, but part of.
But what? I'll block you.
You'll
bro.
Stay in the DM.
No. No, I will not. Usually when I go on a break, I log out of the app on my phone, so I get no notifications or anything. And then when I come back, there's maybe one or two things in there. Or somebody will find me on Facebook, which has happened once or twice.
Well, Brett, how do they get you, man?
You don't.
So I'm at baustin435, or I still run the Touchline account at touchline_TBS.
That account is a good follow, and I encourage all of you to read the article they posted, which is so wonderful. An open letter to Kevin Durant.
Read everything that comes out on that account.
That's true.
I'm not on the same page as Jared. Just so it's like an editorial. It does not represent the feelings of everyone on the site.
Of course it doesn't. It's just an open letter. And an open letter is not an open letter from Torn by Sports, and Rich has to agree. I just can't root for him as, like, I'm not a fan of him anymore. I can't be a fan of Kevin Durant. I mean, I didn't enjoy the Warriors and their attitude last year. The year before, I tolerated them, because they weren't so ridiculous. But now, Draymond Green's just going to be kicking everybody in the nuts. That's going to be one of the stats they're going to have to count. KD basically gave his blessing. I'm glad that you kicked Steven Adams in the nuts, and that's what brings me to the Golden State Warriors.
We need to have Brett just fade out on the podcast to Jared going on a rant about the Warriors. And that will be the end of the show. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed at least some of the podcast. And
definitely hit us up if you have any comments or questions. Anyway, we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye.